Hey there, gang. Patrick King here, and I want to thank you for tuning in for episode number 11 of my new audio broadcast, Talking About Horses. In these broadcasts, I try to bring you some of the best riders, horsemen, trainers, equine advocates, and thought leaders in the horse industry for tips, insights, and stories. You can listen at home, at work, in the car, or, geez, even in the saddle, either through Facebook, YouTube, or by downloading the podcast direct from the iTunes store. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Callie King from CRK Training. Callie's at the forefront of online equestrian education, and she offers several riding programs and events through her online resources geared toward riders at all levels and stages. Callie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for the invite, Patrick. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you. So, and I won't lie, you know, I'm a little nervous about this because you've been doing the online stuff actually more than I have. And you've kind of been inspirational to me in looking to the online resources, especially through social media, for educating riders and educating horsemen around the globe. So again, I can't thank you enough for joining me here. So for anybody that's out there listening that might not know about you and who you are, can you give us a little bit of background?
Sure. Well, what I do day to day is I have a farm in Chester County, Pennsylvania, and I teach lessons here. I've got a pretty busy training program, and we've got some boarders. But then, like you said in the intro, for about 5 years now, I've been doing a lot of online education. It started really small, but it's grown. So we do a lot of video of everything from just day-to-day sessions with the horses to kind of bigger production stuff, making courses, and basically just looking to help get really quality information out there to people that, you know, might not be able to access it locally.
That's awesome. So you've been at this for 5 years now?
Yeah, yep. Wow. 5 years, starting 2012.
Wow. Wow. Very cool. So you've definitely got me beat by quite a bit here.
Well, the first stuff, you hit the ground running. My first stuff was a little, I was a little, you know, shaky audio and video bopping around. It wasn't too fancy.
Oh, well, like I said before we went live, there's nothing fancy on the back side of this. So someday we'll share some video clips of that. But until then, we'll let everybody think that we're in some sort of fancy, you know, fancy recording studio or something like that. So,
yeah.
So let's talk about horses here for a minute. So how did you get your start with horses?
Well, I was one of those lucky kids that always loved horses, and my parents supported it. So they got me some riding lessons at a local barn when I was about 6 years old. And I, you know, took some lessons there on and off. And then I got another really lucky break when we were at a friend's place, a family friend, and they lived out west. We were in Colorado, and they asked if I wanted to go riding. I was 9 years old, and they had two kids that were around the same age, so we went out riding, and I just fell in love with the horse that I rode. He was this old quarter horse. He was 32. Now, I came back in for dinner, and the old rancher, his name was Jim, we sat down for dinner, and he said, "If you want that horse, you can have him. You can take him home." And I don't think my parents were expecting that, but I mean, as a 9-year-old kid, that just like made my year, made my life.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I think really, really got me started was having old Scotch and playing around with him. And then I've been with the horses in a variety of different disciplines and jobs since then.
Awesome. Very cool. So I'm assuming on the ranch then with the quarter horses and with Scotch, you got started riding Western?
Yeah, I started riding Western, and I rode Western until I was, I think, around 12, and then I really wanted to jump, and when the jump started to get higher in the Western saddle, it wasn't too comfortable, so I switched to English, started riding English, and had a variety of different horses when I was young. I had some Rocky Mountains, and I had a thoroughbred that I did the jumpers with. I got into the endurance riding, which I think to date has been my favorite. You know, if I was to pick a horse sport, I love the distance riding. So I did that for a while. And yeah, I've kind of been, I've experimented in a lot of different horse sports and kind of ended up focusing on, overall horse behavior rather than a specific discipline. But I really enjoyed the opportunities that I had to work with different disciplines and take something from each one.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Great. So what got you started with teaching then at that point?
I had a few different jobs as a teenager where I was helping with pony camps and teaching kids there. And I really just enjoyed teaching. And then I took it a little further when I went to, college, I found that I really had an interest in psychology. So when I started getting back into the horse world coming out of college, I kind of, without doing it consciously, I kind of incorporated what I'd learned about psychology through reading books and through some of the classes that I'd sat in on to my riding students. So I was really focused or really interested in how we think, how we learn as humans, and how that could be applied to teaching styles. And, then as I started exploring it more, I realized that it actually, a lot of psychology can be applied to how we train our horses too, because the human and the horse brain has a lot of similarities in the basic structure. So it was a fascination in psychology that got me really interested in being a riding teacher, which I think is a little different twist. You know, a lot of people get into teaching because they love to ride, and initially it's a way to kind of have an income as working with horses. But I really had a fascination with the psychology of learning.
That's awesome. So you really didn't go into it with the idea that you were going to be teaching riders kind of as any sort of a career then?
No, I didn't. It was funny because when I was in high school and I was at kind of that stage where you've got to decide what you're going to do with your life, I thought that I wanted to keep horses more as a hobby. And it's funny to think back on it like that, but I was so scared of going into horses as a career and somehow getting burnout. And I think it's because the barns that I worked at growing up were to just lost the passion for what they were doing. There just wasn't that joy of being with a horse that I was seeing in people that again, in my small world that I had been exposed to at that point, that were doing it professionally. So I was scared of that. But when I got out of college and I was kind of working in a few different fields, I just got drawn right back to the horses and, kind of found that by pulling in my other interests, I was able to do it in a way that, I love what I do. I think it's the best job ever.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So then you started teaching at home? You started doing lessons and that sort of thing at home then?
Yeah, when I came home, I had a lot of people that started asking me if I would help them with their horse. And then, if I could help teach them. And it just kind of grew from there of more people asking if I could help them out with their riding. And then I had a few horses here that of my own horses that were really good. So I started bringing in some different people to ride those horses. And that's actually what the online education grew out of, because I started getting this group of riding students that were really dedicated and really wanted to learn. And they wanted something that they could do outside of the time that we had together, and just that hour that they were here. So I started making little videos for them of just, basic things from horse terms to things that they could work on with their riding, little exercises that they could do during the week, or taking a video of just a little portion of their lesson so they'd have something to review. And then I got the idea to start doing that and putting it out there for not just my own local students, but other people that might benefit from it.
Gotcha. Okay, and that was going to be my next question, was how you got started with the online deal or the digital deal. So had you had any background in any sort of the online media or anything like that before you got started with that?
No, definitely not. I was, technology had been far from my interests. So, yeah, that seems to be a theme with a lot of us horse people.
Yeah, I think you're right.
yeah, it had no interest whatsoever in technology, and that was definitely the biggest struggle in getting started with figuring it out. But it's another thing I've actually developed quite a passion for now that I've realized what it can do. And the way that we can connect other people and collaborate with people and just meet riders from all around the world. Now I'm really starting to love technology.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I know one of the things that impressed me so much was when I was teaching out in your neck of the woods and the weather decided to play up on us and you were so gracious as to offer us the use of your indoor arena. I love the way you basically have your arena set up to do or set up to utilize the online and the digital and the video platforms right there direct from the arena.
Yeah. When we built that arena last fall, and when I guess it's been 2 years now, but when I built it, we were already doing quite a bit of video. And I knew that it was actually because of the video that we put up that indoor, because I wanted to be able to keep going year round. I wanted to be able to make videos without having to cancel because it was snowing or it was too icy to ride.
Okay.
Or the camera lenses were fogging up because of weather changes. So yeah, we set up the indoor that we've got a big viewing area that's kind of raised because I wanted people to, when they're coming in for clinics, to be able to watch easier and more comfortably. And then we put Wi-Fi in there so that it's really easy to do, anything from, like live webinars. So where I can be riding or have riders on or even have other teachers in for clinics, so we can be live streaming what we're doing in the moment. So it was, even when I hired the lighting guy, they didn't quite get it because I hired an equestrian group to come in to help consult for the lighting, and I was trying to explain that I need it bright enough to have video and I can't have shadows, and it's I think not normally one of the main concerns when people are putting up an indoor, but it
right.
turned out pretty well.
Right. I think that's fascinating that you got started with the video and the online technology like this as a total accident, and then you end up designing your entire arena to suit it. I just think that's fascinating to me. I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. And it's a fantastic setup. You've got kind of the teaching sort of lecture area there off to the side. And like you said, the raised viewing area is perfect. It was an absolute pleasure teaching there. It certainly was. So, and again, thank you very much for letting us do that.
It was great to have you here. And I'll kind of let you in on a little secret for one of my future plans for the farm is, one of my dreams has been to create this as kind of like a clinic destination. So even starting to build on what we're offering online, but making it a place that people can come to do a clinic that might not necessarily have clinicians that they want to ride with that come to their local area, or there's a lot of people that I find have, are kind of in my world or watch my videos that they ride less than horses at small local barns, or they even ride friends' horses. So they don't really ever have the opportunity to ride with awesome clinicians, like yourself, because they can't trailer somewhere or they don't have a barn that's hosting. So we're slowly, getting more school horses and built the facility. So now when we have clinics, people can come in and they don't even have to bring their own horse. They can travel in, they can ride here. Soon they're going to be able to stay here. So yeah, we've got more plans for the future.
That is great. Wow. Very cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about what you teach through your online courses. And now I know you've done some other courses with our mutual friend, Wendy Murdoch, who's actually, mm-hmm. Wendy was how I found out how I learned about you in the first place, as a matter of fact. But before we get into that, tell us about what you're teaching through your courses.
Sure. Well, what I'm striving to teach is really the what I kind of think of as the big picture of horsemanship. So I like to, or I think it really empowers people to understand the why behind what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So that they can, you know, they can go out and they can use different exercises, different methods from other trainers, other clinicians, local instructors that they're working with. But if they understand the basic science and psychology of how horses learn, how training, you know, really works, and how we communicate with horses, what horse behavior, you know, looks like in a, you know, in a normal horse and what things are abnormal. So it's just kind of creating education of, again, this big picture stuff so that people can understand, you know, what does it look like if a horse is healthy and he's moving well? What does it look like if a horse is, you know, learning something? How fast, you know, can horses learn? How does that learning really happen? What is normal horse behavior? So again, it's kind of providing some of the context for as folks are going out and looking at you know, different training methods, or just putting a little more understanding behind exercises that they may have been taught or that they may be working on with their horse. So that's my kind of overall focus, is helping people understand that big picture. And the main thing is that the psychology and the science of training and of how horses think and perceive, at least as much as we can know about it.
So it's almost like a preparatory course then for a clinic, because they get to learn more about how the horse actually learns and processes the information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly how I like to think about it. You know, it's, I mean, one of the most simple concepts that I think people can relate to is, you know, we hear a lot of terms, you know, things like positive reinforcement or using pressure release, but I like to teach the basic framework, and a lot of people that have taken psychology courses will probably remember these terms. But, you know, there's the operant conditioning quadrant, that we basic behavior is we're going to do more of things that bring us good stuff or that get rid of bad stuff. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to do less of things that cause discomfort or bring bad stuff. And we're going to do less of things that get rid of good stuff. And that's, you know, there are different ways that learning happens, but a lot of our training is kind of through that quadrant. So we reward the horse or we release pressure. And that's the, you know, the moment of learning and of recognizing the right behavior to reward or to release on. And then, you know, if a punishment is used, if we can be more conscious of what we're doing so that we can see what's really working and what's not working, that's kind of my goal for what I want to help people with in the courses that I teach myself through the programs.
That's awesome. And now you mentioned movement, and I'm remembering whenever I was there, you had some pieces, some anatomy pieces, some skeletal pieces of the horse there. Is that something that you teach also in your courses?
Yes, it is. And it's one of the things that I have gotten a lot of help with teaching this from Wendy Murdoch. So you mentioned earlier, mutual friend of ours and someone I definitely respect. But I've been a little bit of a anatomy kind of geek myself. So the anatomy pieces that you're referring to is the horse skeleton that I probably shouldn't admit this, but that I dug out of the ground when I was about 12 years old for a science project. Bleached it all up and labeled all the bones, and I have, you know, it's almost a complete skeleton. So to me, there's something really powerful about being able to see that, you know, see what's inside the horse, so that when we're asking the horse to do certain movements, when we can picture it from the inside out, I think it adds so much more clarity to what we're asking for. And going back to that, the idea of how learning happens and the psychology of learning, when we can have a clear picture in our mind of what we're asking for, we're going to be a lot more precise in giving a reward or releasing pressure at that right moment.
I totally agree. And it's funny that you say that, because I've got a big part of a skeleton, basically from the scapula forward, being treated right now, that I'm going to be carrying around in a suitcase as I drive down the road. So hopefully I don't have to fly with it anywhere, because that would look really odd going through airport security. But I do have, I also have in the car with me right now, I have a couple neck pieces and a skull that I've borrowed from a friend who's an equine dentist. So it makes so much more sense, exactly what you said, to be able to picture it, to be able to see it from the inside out. It just helps riders to understand what they're talking about or what they're thinking about when they're asking their horses to do things. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's, you know, coming back to, again, with the whole idea of online education, I think one of the biggest benefits of it is it allows people to get access to information and also different teachers that, again, if we were limited to just what we had within our local area, we would be so limited. But now with the power of technology, we can jump on the web and be learning from some of the best people in the world from every field. And even in horses, you know, we have all these different pieces that come together to really make that great ride. You know, it's from the health of the horse, and you mentioned dentistry, and then, you know, the balance of the rider and mental skills of the rider. You know, it's what you're doing even here in this podcast, is bringing together the best in each field so that people can really get that quality information and start to put the pieces together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, for a while we were living in, you know, I tell people we used to live in the age of information. Now we live in the age of free and easily accessible information, you know, which is very different, you know, and we sometimes have to be careful with the free information, because sometimes it's worth what we pay for it, right? But at the same time, it's also a case where we're now in the age of these platforms like this, like your platforms, and you know, that you're utilizing for your courses, and this platform here that folks might be listening to these podcasts through, you know, YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, that sort of thing. And it's fantastic that we're able to connect this way. And you know, at the same time, just like you said, I would consider myself very technologically limited, but have gotten so excited about the opportunities that we have through technology now. Thank goodness for things like smartphones, because, you know, I don't know how we would do it without that. And all these other platforms that are available to us, that, you know, a couple weeks ago I was chatting, you know, to a friend in Australia doing one of these podcasts and that sort of thing, where in the past it would have never been a possibility, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it also broadens the possibility for collaboration. You know, I'm a big believer in the idea that when you can bring minds together and bring people from different experiences, different backgrounds, and even different expertise. I mean, some of the students that I've had that actually have made some of the biggest impact on me as a trainer and a teacher have, you know, they're not coming in as experienced riders. They're coming in as, you know, someone that was a psychologist or someone that was a medical doctor, you know, or even just someone that was a stay-at-home mom and had incredible human skills. Mm-hmm. And I think when we can take, you know, people's experiences and knowledge from a variety of fields and bring it together, we just progress a lot more quickly because of the collaboration element.
Absolutely. Well, like you said, the combination of the skills, you know, just helps us to be so much more successful that way, and so much more effective, I think, as communicators.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so through the coaching online that you're doing, I guess first question I would have is how do folks access that?
Well, we've got a variety of ways. I mean, I do my weekly video or article, and that's free. That goes up every Friday. And then I have a few different like 7-day courses that are just kind of like a quick mini course so that folks can get a little bit better feel for how I teach or how the different instructors now that I've worked with to create some different courses, how they teach and what their philosophy is. And then from there, I've got courses that run at once or twice a year. So, it's like a college class. Everyone joins. We've got an enrollment period. Everyone joins, and then we all go through it together. And those have a really fun vibe because of that. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of people sharing experiences, and it's just kind of an aside, but one of my favorite parts of doing those types of classes that have the people sending in videos for feedback is the variety of places in the world that we have videos come in from, and everyone in the course can see them. So it's not just me getting to have fun with this, but we've got people like Miho in Abu Dhabi, and he's there riding in the desert, and Ri from Malaysia, and she's got this arena that's like this beautiful jungle around it.
Really?
Or Basami from Japan, who it looks like it's like in the city. So it and again, it everyone gets to watch those videos that people are sending in. So it's just this kind of fun experience of riders around the world that are really going for the same goal of just how can we do this better for the horse? What can we learn from the horse? And how can we just do this better? But yeah, that. Just an aside,
That's awesome.
but we, yeah. So if we do that, those are the big courses, and then we've got a few courses that run on demand. So usually the smaller programs that are a little bit more easy for kind of self-study, and folks can join those anytime they want. And there's always, people going through them, but it's more of a self-paced kind of program.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay, so how do folks access these? I'm so curious because I hear so much now about the online programs and about the home study kind of courses, and I like what you're talking about kind of the interactive courses where there's enrollment periods and that sort of thing. But I won't lie, I don't know the first thing about how any of those work. So is there, say I were to enroll in one of these courses that you have that's more like the interactive college-based or college-style courses, is there a website that people access to get this? Is this something where there's, the super special secret Facebook page for this? Or how does that work? What's the atmosphere
Yeah,
like for
interesting.
that?
Yeah, so we've got it's basically a special website. We call it a portal that is specific for each course and each program. So when someone joins, they get an email that gives them an access code to go into that website. And then once they're there, they can access the information again. It depends on the course. The ones that we run, the bigger programs that just run once or twice a year, those are spaced out. So they join, they'll have access to, say, lesson one, and they go through that. We almost always have a live component. So, for example, right now I'm running the balance riding course, and every Tuesday we get together live. So people join in kind of like on this call, but I'm usually riding in the arena, so they can watch me ride, they can ask questions. And I can demonstrate stuff right there with the horse or the horses that I have in the arena.
Wow.
And then we also ship out a box. So they get a box. It has a workbook. So as they're going through the videos, they can be working through that workbook to make sure that, they're applying the information that they're watching on the video to their horse, to their riding. And yeah, so it's kind of multimodal learning, which is another, you're going to find I'm really a little bit of a geeky person when it comes to college.
I love that.
I think it's another thing that's a really a bonus to the opportunities of online learning is, you know, there's different modes of learning. Some people are visual learners, some are auditory, which, you know, learning from hearing. Some mm-hmm. people are kinesthetic, so they've got to feel something. And some people like to read and write. Now, we all use all those different modes, but we'll often have one that is strongest for us. So, for mm-hmm. example, for myself, I'm very much a visual learner. When I take a lesson with someone, or if I go, you know, myself with my horse to a clinic, I find that that's often my worst riding, because when I'm trying to listen and apply at the same time, I have a hard time processing it. But if I can stop and watch someone else do it, you know, then I've got it, then I can go do it. So the benefit of, you know, taking a course as opposed to, you know, say just a weekly riding lesson or just an occasional clinic is you can start to get those different modes of learning. You can watch a video, you can write in your workbook, and then you can also go out and take a specific exercise to go practice on your horse.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So, and gosh, I mean, I'm looking at this, and I apologize. I'm taking notes while we're talking, because I like to do that for each of these broadcasts that we do, because things pop into my head as we're chatting. But so it sounds like you're covering all the bases with these programs, as far as the workbook and the live components and the video lessons and the Q&A stuff and being able to watch you work live. So there's a ton of planning then that's going into these ahead of time.
Yeah, it's a lot of planning, and we're constantly redoing them. So with all of our courses, when someone joins it, it's lifetime access. So, you know, once they join it, they can go back and review all the material that they've essentially purchased forever. And they can
all... Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Are you there? Oh, gang, I think we might be having some connection errors with Callie. We'll see if she pops back up on here. Let me see. Uh-oh. All right, gang, I am going to call Callie back, and we are going to start this broadcast up one more time. I apologize for this little snag. It was just getting exciting. I will give her a call back, and we will work on part two of our Talking About Horses audio with Callie King from CRK Training.